from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Say, hey, chill out. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey, all damn glad to have you on a Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Did you see he met the Haley Welsh Hawk Tour girl?
I did see that.
One of the most awkward encounters you'll ever see.
What the heck? That was so cringe.
Brutal.
That was brutal.
What's up, brother?
And she freaked out.
He goes, dude, he goes, now you got to do your thing. She's like, no.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay.
Okay. And he thought she was from Louisiana. She goes, nah, I'm from Tennessee.
Tennessee.
And then he goes, yep, close but no cigar. And she had no idea what
she
that saying
meant. She didn't know what that meant.
She didn't know what it means. Is there a saying that you've never understood?
Most of them you don't understand, but they become so common, you know. Like,
she had never heard it.
Never heard of it.
Well, you didn't know Phil Donahue was yesterday.
Great coach, man.
Great coach. Phenomenal coach.
That's got to be
the best of all time.
That's got to be a bit.
Yeah.
A generational question.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah. I was texting you.
Because you can ask me something from your generation. Like, I don't know. But I'll ask you something from me. I don't know.
It's like yesterday I texted you. I was like, is soup a meal? And you're like, oh, somebody's watching Seinfeld.
Yeah.
I was like, well. Because I'll give you a little peek behind the curtain. I've watched Seinfeld throughout my entire life, but not as religiously as maybe some like Bob and Vern and Speck. And I was watching yesterday. I was like, okay, Bob keeps using these Seinfeld references. I got to start picking up on them. And that's just show homework for my own weird mind. And I started watching the soup episode where the guy gives him the Armani suit.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, man. He goes, I need dinner. And he's like, all right. He goes, you should get the swordfish. I'll do the salmon. I'll do a bowl of soup. This counts. This is dinner.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. No, it's not.
The meal is the act of sitting down with somebody, okay? It's not about what you order. If somebody invites you to lunch and you're not that hungry, but you still went to lunch, you don't get another lunch.
No.
It is what it is. And so if you're invited to lunch, you plan a lunch, and you get there and you're really not that hungry, well, that's on you. I mean, you shouldn't have eaten before. So the best part about Kenny Banya, though, is we had him in studio years ago, and I always use this comparison because we also had J.J. Walker in from Good Times, right? And so J.J. Walker came in. And we're like, oh, cool, man. We're going to get you to say dynamite, right? And he goes, I don't say that unless you're going to give me $10,000. And I said, well, then you don't need to be here. And we showed him the door, right? Like, he wouldn't say his key. Like, you're Jimmy Walker. What else, besides trying to peddle reverse mortgages, what else are you known for? You're known for dynamite. Mac, do you have any idea what that is? Probably
over my
not,
head.
Right?
Yeah.
So he wouldn't say it. So we're like, well, then you're done. here's the door. Like, weeks later, Kenny Banya comes in, and his saying in Seinfeld, it's gold, Jerry, it's gold, right? And so I looked at Kenny Banya, and I said, a couple weeks ago, we had an incident with Jimmy Walker. He wouldn't say dynamite. Well, you say it's gold, Jerry, it's gold. And he looked at me, he goes, Every morning I walk to my mailbox and there's a check from saying that. You better believe I'm saying that. He goes, my dad told me anytime anybody asks you to say that, you just say that because that check's showing up all the time. And he goes, I do nothing except say that. And I make a ton of money in residuals because of, you know, not like what Jerry and all the other guys make. But I appreciated that. Like, understand what you're known for. Like, get it, man. Like, stay in your lane.
Know
and
your wealth.
If you don't want to be known for, you know, dynamite, then don't be doing appearances, you know, and don't tell people you're not going to. That's why you're here, sir.
Do you love when people just submit to greatness?
Well, I think it's two messages, really. One is starting all over again, rebuilding everything, starting at the base, you know, and putting the stacking days together and weeks together in training camp on your fundamentals and, you know, building those pillars that give you strength to get you through a long regular season and postseason, particularly in the fundamentals. So it's starting over, but it's also finding a new way to win. And each year is a different year. Even if you have some of the same players, there's always some differences, whether it's your opponents or the circumstances that you go through during the course of the year. That varies from year to year. So we'll see what Kansas City's challenges are this year. Whether it's a fast start and maybe they'll dip in there or vice versa. I mean, who knows? But it'll be there.
So Bill Belichick gives me a lot of vibes of when Roy Williams watched Kansas win the national championship after they blanked his North Carolina Tar Heels. Mm-hmm. Right? Remember that? Mm-hmm. Roy was sitting in the crowd with a black sweatshirt on and the Jayhawk emblem on his chest?
Yeah, right.
Bill Belichick knows, I think now, that there are certain things that Andy Reid has done and will continue to do that he will never do. And one of them is going for a three-peat, mm-hmm. and he says if anybody's able to do it, it is the guy that we are talking about right now, which is Andy Reid.
Well, who else are you going to pick in the NFL? I was having a conversation with friend Evan yesterday, and he was like, you know, going in on Mike Tomlin a little bit. I'm like, oh, you're barking up the wrong tree here. I'm the biggest Mike Tomlin apologist maybe known to man other than his mom and wife, right? Mm-hmm. And so we kind of talked about that a little bit, he's like, why do you love Mike Tomlin so much? And I said, because he is a dude. He handles the players the right way. He's never been below 500. Like, the guy just wins. Now, has he had the postseason success? No, but who really has? Other than New England and Kansas City, who really has had postseason success in the
Shanahan,
NFL?
But none of it matters.
None of it matters. Yeah. Like, he doesn't win the Super Bowl or anything like that. Like, seriously, think about it, right? Mm-hmm. Other than New England and Kansas City over the last, this century, 24 years, who's had postseason success? Those are the only two teams that have truly had that sustained postseason success. Giants had a couple of Super Bowl wins in there. Denver had a couple of Super Bowl appearances in there.
Seattle
had a couple of appearances in there. But like the sustained success, the Rams have had a couple appearances, only won one. But the sustained success has been the Chiefs and the Patriots and nobody else. And for New England or for Pittsburgh to never be below 500 under Mike Tomlin is remarkable. So there's not a lot of great coaches in this league, but there are some coaches that just outshine everybody else. And obviously Andy Reid is the best at what they do. And even if Bill Belichick were to come back into the NFL, he's probably never going to get the opportunity to go for a three-peat, right? Those don't come around often. That's why you have to take advantage of them. And that's why I believe the Chiefs are so dialed in. Mm-hmm. And Belichick was talking to Pat McAfee, and I really enjoyed the conversation. I'm like, okay, I kind of like this Bill Belichick a little bit more. I mean, it wasn't real different from what we know Bill Belichick to be, but, you know, a little bit more outgoing, I guess. And he talked about, he goes, you know, the Chiefs may have to find a different way to win. And I'm like, they did that last year. Like, last year was the year where they found a different way to win. This year, they're kind of getting the toys back that made them that explosive offense, coupled with last year finding out a different way to win, makes them that much more dangerous, I think.
Speaking of dangerous, I'm going to do this, Mac. I promise. I'm going to put a montage together of Jim Harbaugh the week before the Chiefs play the Chargers.
Yes.
Because we already have four clips, and I know we're going to get at least eight more before they play. How about this about Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert?
Be able to have Justin back out there practicing today.
Great. I felt like the music should be playing. I thought I heard music. Voices of Angels, maybe. Felt great. It felt great.
What kind of music would be playing when Justin Herbert walks out on the field?
Apparently,
like, give me the middest song ever, because that's what Justin Herbert is. He's a mid quarterback.
I think Harbaugh heard Hallelujah.
Oh,
I think that's. Right. I don't know if he heard the John Legend version, which is fantastic, but I think he either heard Hallelujah or Up from the Grave He Arose.
What about Train's Angels? Call in all the, like, what kind of song is, you can call in. We'd like to hear your voice. What song did Jim Harbaugh hear when John, whatever his name is, stepped
wrong
on the field?
Wrong answers only.
Yeah.
That's the best part about that is, I mean, it's just, I feel bad for the backup quarterback.
Like, yeah, the music
what would
not
you hear,
play.
What would you hear when Herbert went down?
Yeah. Oh, my
Devil
God.
Devil went down to Georgia?
like some kind of, like, really sad, like, walking away music from the Hulk back in the day.
Did you hear Dido?
Could, oh God, I want to thank you, but you're not thank. I mean, but that song sucks. Yeah.
Yeah. I think
that's wild, man.
Sarah
like
McLaughlin.
I mean, we thought like, wow.
Are you ready for that montage though? Like Mac and I are just going to come up here on a Saturday. It's going to take us like 2 hours.
I'm ready for that thing to go down in flames is what I'm ready for.
So what you're talking about?
Yep.
Mid.
Man, this is a Justin Herbert song.
This is what we heard when Justin Herbert stepped in. Yeah.
Angel in Blue Jeans by Train.
Angel in Blue Jeans.
No, I was saying Calling All the Angels.
Oh. Well, yeah. Angel this, angel that. 913-586-7965. What's the best song that involves the word angels? You could just say Angels and Airwaves, and I'd be okay with that. I'm Dusty Likens. That's Bob Fesco. Mac Morey, you are listening to your only sports station you need to listen to. It's called 96.5 The Fan. And we come back. You got to do it. You got to bring up hot seats. They don't really make sense, but there's a Chiefs player we all have. Maybe it's different for each. Which Chiefs player is technically on the hot seat? We dive into that. Plus, we get back into your Kansas City Royals, who are in second place, baby, on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on 96.5 The Fan, presented by Kirk Cousins Playlist.
I like it. All morning long, we're playing the Kirk Cousins playlist. Why don't we do that leading up to football season? Each day, do a different athlete playlist if we can find one. Or maybe it just ends here. I don't know.
Or try to guess somebody's athlete's playbook. Playbook.
Playlist. Yeah.
Playlist.
This guy needs to be more in his playlist.
Right. We reached out, text line, best angel song, Earth Angel, the song from Back to the Future.
Good one. Yeah.
Brand New Angel. God's Plan by Drake was playing in Jim's head when Herbert came back, Micah in Denver. City of Angels from the 816. Angel is a Centerfold.
That's a good one, too. Yeah.
His Love goes Cold.
Yeah.
There Goes My Hero by Creed. That was probably going through Herbert's head. That's a Bob Fesco text.
That's really good. Yeah.
That's definitely not Creed. How dare you talk name on the Foo Fighters. And then, Bob, why do you not believe in Harbaugh? He's a top five coach in all of sports.
Drinking already this morning?
Either way. We come back.
Happy National Radio Day, fellas, by the way.
Nice. Is that what it is
today? Yeah, today's National Radio Day.
Do you have like a site you follow tells you every national?
Every morning sends me the list. He sends me the list every day of like what's going on. And obviously, you know, other people in the industry are kind of talking about it today as well. Ben Maller sent me this one. Here's a quote from Thomas A. Edison. He invented the car back in the day.
And the light bulb.
And I don't think that he did. He invented the radio, too. He says, the radio craze will die out in time. Thomas A. Edison.
Here we are.
500 years later, Tom, we're still here, buddy.
Yep. But the hot seat.
Hot seat.
Not that, you know, we're doing power rankings or anything like that, but we can have a discussion that is funny because it can merit it because ESPN does these lists. Like Dan Orlovsky says, the best quarterbacks and certain individual. Beakley listened to that segment the other day. I forgot to tell you guys this. Beakley listened to that segment the other day and he texted me like pissed. I knew he was pissed. He goes, the hell is Dan Orlovsky's problem, Dust Man? And I said, well, I don't know. He goes, where's that article at? Let me read it. He said, what a joke. Like 10 minutes later, I'm like, I know that he dove into that article. He's like, I thought he said something about like Burrow had the best accuracy and like
Beakley still uses dial up, right?
No, no, he needs the internet.
He does. Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you this about Jay Binkley.
Yeah.
Yeah, he needs the internet.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
But no, we talk about the ESPN. They said the one player on the Kansas City Chiefs roster on the hot seat is Rashee Rice.
How so?
Maybe the offseason, he's got to prove that he can move on and still be a solid option in the offense. That's the only thing I can kind of come up with when it comes to what they think the hot seat means.
I think in sports, we spend too much time analyzing what we think is going on compared to what really is going on, right?
Yeah, which is why this conversation is not really super serious, but more so like if we had to put our brains together and be like, who's on a hot seat?
Right.
You're going to listen to our words and be like, oh, that's not like a hot seat as in like, maybe Mike McCarthy's on, or, you know, maybe Aaron Boone is consistently on, which now that seat's a little bit cooler, but when you're
They get knocked out in the first round of the playoffs. That thing's on fire.
They don't win the best record in the league. They're going to be calling Bucky Dent to see if he's still alive.
Yeah.
And so Chiefs players on the roster, Bob, who do you have as if you had to put somebody in a hot seat, who would that player be?
The only reason I'm putting this person on the hot seat is because I know what's at stake. And I think he's put himself on the hot seat. It is Nick Bolton. Okay. I mean, I think because of the contract coming up at the end of the season, we've heard that he wants to let this kind of thing play out and see where he is at the end of the year. Maybe the Chiefs want to let it play out. He's kind of had the injury bug a little bit. I love him as a football player. Like, he's one of my favorite players to watch, but he's also at a position that I don't know how valuable the Chiefs see that position. I know they value him because he's the captain of that defense with the green dot and all, but I can see them moving on from Bolton. And the reason I say it's a hot seat is either he's going to have a good season and get paid by the Chiefs, or he's going to have a really good season and get paid by someone else. And if he doesn't have a good season, then that cat ain't getting paid. And so I don't think he's on the hot seat in terms of jeopardy of losing his job. I just think he's on the hot seat based on what he does this year is going to go a long way in determining his financial future and his future in the National Football League at a high, high, high salary.
Yeah, season's a life changer for him. I completely agree.
Yeah, it is a life changer. That's a good way to put it, Mac. Yeah, it is. It's a life-changing season for Nick Bolton because if he goes out there and balls, he's going to get paid. And it may not be here,
no,
but he's going to get paid. Somebody will pay a guy who has 150 tackles a year like Bolton does. I hope it's here in Kansas City because I do value him a lot. But again, I don't know if the Chiefs necessarily value him. I know they did a year ago. He was one of the four that they wanted to get signed. The effort right now is going towards Creed. It's going towards Trey. They're making small gains in those categories and, you know, and whatnot. And they hope to get deals done with them. Bolton, on the other hand, I think both sides are like, well, let's see what happens after this season. You know, I love Nick Bolton, man. Like, this defense works because of him. Even though when he went out, they really didn't miss a beat, which doesn't bode well for him. But I still know he's a really good football player.
Mm-hmm. And middle linebacker, kind of like running back, it feels like you do have to do more to maybe even just get a little bit less. Like, you're not going to get as much as those other guys, but you have to do more to even get what you're going to get. So
yeah.
I think Bolton's a great answer. For me, I'd say Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Who?
CEH, baby.
You know, I always forget he's still on the team. Like, that's where he is. And that's fine,
that's
right?
Fine.
Like I'm not going to sit here and pine over, you know, what CEH is doing right now.
No.
I feel like CEH is that guy this year. Whatever we get from him is going to be a luxury, and we're going to love it. And we're going to have a different appreciation of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's no longer this first-round draft pick who we expect to do all this kind of stuff. I think he's just going to be a nice piece to this offense this year, a nice change of pace, maybe for the fifth year in a row, I'm saying, and now we'll see the screen game involved and get him in kind of some open spaces and doing that kind of stuff. I think whatever we get out of him this year is gravy. Like, I'm excited to watch him from that standpoint. There's no expectation on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and that's a good thing.
For Clyde, though, one-year deal. I mean, he's trying to be a second running back on a team, and he's may not be on this year. Maybe he'll be on this team.
Yeah, I see where you guys went with it, and I kind of look at it from the offensive perspective of what maybe a Nick Bolton is on the offense. Now, this guy's not been a Chiefs player for any time except for maybe 3 months, but to me, it's Hollywood Brown. And the reason why is, and again, this isn't a hot seat of like, oh, he might get cut or he might, you know, whatever. It's more so it's a different type of hot seat because of what he can prove in this year. And so far, he's against the grain because he got hurt. Obviously,
can't prove the stuff.
Right. And you got to do that. Oops. That's one. And two, you're doing what the Chiefs like to do for players in your sort of line of rosters. You're coming here. You didn't get a huge contract, but you're a pivotal player that if you can prove,
A, that you can be on the field, and two, you can produce, you can get a pretty nice contract because of the position you play and the sort of skill sets that you possess. So that's where, like, I see the hot seat for Hollywood Brown. Can you stay healthy? Will you miss the first two games of the season? More than likely. Will you be back after that, week three against Atlanta on the road? Probably. And once you do that, can you stay on the field? Can you produce the numbers? And then can you go show everybody that, hey, maybe this guy does deserve the three-year, whatever million-plus dollar deal there is.
The ridiculous wide receiver contract.
Right, because the market is flooded. But, like, that's what, to me, if I had to find a hot seat for the Kansas City Chiefs, it would possibly be Marquise Hollywood Brown because of what the past is. Can't stay healthy. He's been healthy for one full year. He's already hurt, missing two games, so your back's against the wall. But when you come back, can you stay on the field? Can you play in 14 games? And can you also produce with mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes? And then you can go prove, because that's a little bit of a seat that gets hot, because it's like, I want to get paid. I like this market. I'm coming here for a one-year deal to help this team win a Super Bowl, to win a three-peat, and then I'll go on my own. So to me, that's where I look at, like, a hot seat.
It's kind of
the
Bolton hot seat for us. You know, you're looking at, like, you have an opportunity on a, I don't want to say a minimal deal, but on you know, your current contract, you have an opportunity to go prove it to yourself. The only person whose seat is hot in Hollywood Brown and Nick Bolton's life is their own. They're the only mm-hmm. ones that have created that hot seat for themselves. And that's cool. I like that. I like when you kind of bet on yourself, but you have to go out there and produce. And Hollywood Brown is already kind of behind the eight ball because he got hurt and may miss a week or two of the season. The other good injury news is James Winchester. He's going to be okay. They expect him out for a couple of days. He'll be back and ready to go. Cause that's a position that you have to look at and say, boy, I haven't thought about the long snapper position in Kansas City since the '90s. I mean, from Kendall Gammon to James Winchester, basically a seamless transition of having unbelievable long snappers. And so I was talking to some folks yesterday, like, yeah, it's not that bad. I know they signed that kid from K-State and everybody's like losing their minds. What's going to happen at the long snapper spot? But he should be back and ready to go by opening day. They only expect him to miss a couple of days. So that's the good news, you know, on that front, because I think we take that position for granted. I mean, Absolutely. Obviously Tommy Townsend didn't know how to hold, but James Winchester was dynamite with snapping the football and still is.
Text line from the 620 says Justin Reed. There's just too much talent below him, and we'll have to take a deal to stay in Kansas City.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think everybody knows the way that the Chiefs operate right now is that, you know, they draft for next year. There were some defensive backs that were drafted. There were some offensive linemen that were drafted. You have to start reading the tea leaves, if you haven't already, based on the way the Chiefs draft, what their plan to do is. And Justin Reed, I don't want to say up there in age, but for football terms, he's up there in age. He's battling an injury right now. Yeah, I would imagine that he's probably going to have to take a big contract from somebody else if he wants to get paid again in the NFL.
Speaking of hot seats, we can go around the room here real quick. What's the number one hottest seat in the NFL from a head coaching standpoint?
Well, I think it's always Dallas, isn't it? I think the Giants, I think that's a hot seat. I think there's going to be hotter seats for teams because of the Belichick factor. And I was watching him on McAfee yesterday. Okay, he's 72 years old. He's going to have this year off. He's dating a 26-year-old still, right? Is that still a thing?
Yeah,
right?
I would assume so.
He's won 8 Super Bowls as an assistant and a head coach. He's looked at as one of the greatest of all time, right? Obviously, Tom Brady has kind of changed that narrative. Mm-hmm. Other than getting to and beating Don Shula's record for the most wins, at 72 years old, having a year off, dating a 26-year-old, having all this money, relaxing, what's going to be his incentive to come back?
Guaranteed roster control.
At 72, his roster control has shown that it's not that good.
He's terrible. But he's an egotistical guy like that. That's what he wants. Why he probably didn't get any jobs.
Right. No, it's probably why. But if you're an owner of a team, are you going to hire a 72 or 73-year-old egotistical guy to come in and try to fix your franchise? By the time he fixes it, he's going to be an octogenarian.
If I was the Cowboys, I'd consider it. Because that team...
Who's their quarterback next year?
They win 10 to 12 games. Dak led the league, or was second in passing yards or whatever last year. He's a good quarterback.
What if they don't sign Dak?
That's a huge deal. That's the thing. I guess I'm considering CD, Micah, they all re-up.
Right, you're saying they all re-up. And from that standpoint, like...
1 year, let's do it.
Yeah, but I think... I agree. I think the seat in Philadelphia is on fire with Nick Sirianni. I think the Giants seat is on fire. I think Robert Saleh's seat is on fire. Now, I don't think Belichick's going to coach the Jets. I think the seat in Dallas is hot. And I think the seats in New York and Philadelphia, Giants and Philly, are on fire because of Belichick being out there. And I could see Bill Belichick wanting to close his coaching career where it really all began with the Giants. He's always had kind of that, like, I'd like to go coach the Giants mentality. And if the Giants don't play this year, I could absolutely see DeBall being fired and them going after and hiring Bill Belichick because they make a lot of bad decisions. And I think hiring Bill Belichick at this stage of the game, knowing what we know and how bad he is without Tom Brady, would be a bad hire by anybody in this league.
Speaking of good hires, bad hires, good drafts, bad drafts. Moving from the hot seat to career longevity, this comes from Today in Sports. Which rookie quarterback will have the best career? Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, who was announced yesterday that he will be the starting quarterback for the Washington Commanders, Drake May, or J.J. McCarthy? Bob, you know where Mac and I are going, but we'll start with you.
I'm going to start, and I'm going to go with J.J. McCarthy, and here's why.
Stop.
He's the only one with a legit head coach.
Kevin O'Connell, baby.
He's the only one that is going into a ready-made offensive system. Like, look at the numbers from Minnesota last year. Weren't they the top offense in the NFL last year? And Justin Jefferson missed a ton of games. I think J.J. McCarthy has the surrounding cast and has the head coach to lead him to that kind of success. And that's what I look at. I don't think the Bears have a head coach. I don't think Washington has a head coach. And we don't know anything about New England.
Mac, no shock to yours.
Yeah, it's Caleb Williams.
Right.
But I will say, I don't hate Bob's answer. Not because of the J.J. McCarthy, but the rest of that. I mean,
you have to factor in the situation.
Situation.
Like, Patrick Mahomes would not be this good if Andy Reid was not his head coach.
That's the way that goes. Yeah, and the offensive line was there, and he had Travis Kelce and all those things. And yeah, I get that. He's the best receiver in the league right there. So the injury is not great. But yeah, give me Caleb Williams. I don't care. They'll figure out the coach.
I think the obvious answer is Caleb because he's just been surrounded by the talent. Like, Romeo Odunze is going to be a stud. Keenan Allen's the veteran. You've got Cole Kmet. You've got
DJ Moore.
You have DeAndre Swift. They've put him in a no-fail situation, in my opinion.
Except with their head coach, you know? Like,
yeah, we'll see.
Big year.
But the guy that I'm rooting for is Jaden Daniels. Jalen Daniels. That's the guy I think he is a stud.
Jalen Daniels is KU. Jaden Daniels is Washington, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And
it's going to get confusing.
It is confusing. But that's who I'm rooting for. I think he is a bona fide stud and a certified G. Ain't done. And I think that he has the most talent in the quarterback NFL-wise. I think Caleb Williams is going to be a special player because of what he can present on the field. You know, we've yet to see it, but I think with what he's got, he'll be just fine. But I think Jaden Daniels is the guy that, like, when you put him out there and you saw what he did at LSU last year and how good of a quarterback he was, I believe a Heisman Trophy winner, Jaden Daniels can be a stud. I think the way he plays. Now, Washington has ruined quarterbacks before, but if there's one guy that with a new regime, now that there's the Dan Snyder era is over and all that sort of what they were doing with Ron Rivera, and I don't know what was going on there. But this is a clean slate with a good guy with a fresh mind, with a powerful arm and a good football brain. I'm rooting for Daniels to be the guy that has the best career.
How do we define best career, though?
You at least make it past your first contract with the same team. I don't know, man, because, I mean, what quarterback? I mean, Josh Allen, great career, you'd say? Good career?
I think from a financial standpoint, he's had a fantastic career, right?
You know, been an all-pro, been a pro bowler, been a playoff quarterback, won a couple playoff games, just never beats Patrick Mahomes.
Right, right.
You know, we'll see C.J. Stroud. He's
off
to a hot
start. Do we have
to
change the way we look at success because of Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, just like they did in the NBA in the 90s.
Yeah.
Just like we did with Tom Brady.
You're not beating Mahomes, and so, like, then maybe the individual numbers matter more. Like, like what defines who will have the best career? Because when all this is said and done, you may say, man, look at all those numbers Caleb Williams put up. And I go, yeah, but J.J. McCarthy led the Vikings to two Super Bowl championships. So, you know, Caleb may put up better numbers, but J.J. McCarthy may have more championships, which is considered the best career. And I think it's all just kind of indicative of who you root for, or how you judge things. Like, everybody's answer is going to be different on that, right?
Well, it's like, who had a better career, Troy Aikman or Dan Marino?
I mean,
you might say Troy because of rings, but you might say numbers, Dan Marino.
But that's the thing. We become so Super Bowl-centric on the way we judge quarterbacks right now that is become it's become the narrative. And unless you're Tom Brady, Joe Montana, or Patrick Mahomes, and I guess Terry Bradshaw, like, you really don't, you know, you don't really have an opportunity to win championships in this league because it's been so heavily dominated by so few quarterbacks. And so, like, the Marino thing is the great old should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame type of debate, right? Like, is Dan Marino a great quarterback? From a number standpoint, yes. I think you can have a conversation of a great quarterback versus a winner. Like, Marino didn't win any Super Bowls, not a winner. Mahomes, I mean, my God, you know, like, Derek Jeter wasn't the best shortstop on his team, but he was a winner.
Mm-hmm.
And I think having a winner versus the best, I think you can have, you know, two different categories there. So the best career depends on how you define best.
Speaking of two different categories, I sent you guys a video yesterday of a hot dog being rolled in spaghetti.
Man, I have shared this with so many people, and I've gotten so many different reactions.
You let Smokehouse know they could do a version of this somehow,
I'm going
maybe?
To, yeah.
But it was a hot dog wrapped in spaghetti noodles, then thrown, it looked like, into a brioche hot dog bun.
It was Hawaiian rolls.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
With a little, like, butter, garlic, and parsley on top, which brings Bob to the question of, what is the best food mashup? We can do this real quick before you go to break. Bob, what say you?
Oh, well, it's burnt ends from Smokehouse on top of their white cheddar mac and cheese. You have that, you're going to be living in
fire.
Heaven, man.
That sounds so good.
Oh, my God.
Sign me up. It
is tremendously awesome. This whole hot dog thing, though, they took the Hawaiian rolls. You know how they come in, like, rows of three?
Yeah.
Cut them down the middle in the rows of three. Turn that into garlic bread. Put the ricotta cheese, the tomato sauce. It was basically a lasagna, but the meat was a hot dog. Like, I mean, it looked awesome. Like, you would 100% devour that thing, right?
I'd have seconds.
I mean, I had people go to me, though, that looks gross. How did that look gross?
I don't know.
Like, they took the hot dog and they took the hard spaghetti and stuck it in so it was all sticking up, threw it in a pan of water, rolled the hot dog out with the spaghetti, put the ricotta cheese, tomato sauce, rolled the hot dog up, and it put it on the Hawaiian bread as garlic bread, and you ate it like a meatball grinder. Like, oh my God, that thing looked amazing.
Mac, what's your favorite mashup, real fast?
Reese's Pieces and popcorn at the movie theater.
You said that, and I saw at Hy-Vee the other day that they have Reese's peanut butter flavored popcorn.
What?
Yeah. And I'm like, can't buy it.
I need all that.
Just say no.
It's over in, like, the organic health food section, which was, but I guess it's organic popcorn and whatever. I was surprised it was in that section, but that's where I saw it at the Hy-Vee. And I'm like, oh my God, Hy-Vee is selling, like, arguably my two favorite foods in one bag. I need to keep moving down the aisle.
Catch me at Hy-Vee later.
Mine is easy. Biscuits and gravy. I know you hate it. There's not a better two combo than a nice buttermilk biscuit with some sausage gravy over the top with salt and pepper and a little Tabasco sauce on top.
Yes. What if you get watery gravy, though?
I make my own.
Okay.
So I don't, I can do it myself and know when I get it to the right level and I've done enough where I know exactly what I need.
What if you lived in a place in college and the cook stirred the gravy with her arm? Would you eat biscuits and gravy?
No, because now you're adding semantics to it. Speaking of,
actually happened, Rita. Thank you.
Five in a row, three games out, second place. Better believe we're talking about your Royals. We come back here on 96.5, The Fan, your home for Royals baseball, your home for sports radio and entertainment, and your home for Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey on 96.5, The Fan.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5.
Back here on 96.5 The Fan, Fesco and Dusty, 913-586-7965 with Mac Morey, our executive producer, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. Thanks for tuning in. Royals won a big one last night. They win their fifth in a row. Three games out of first place in the American League.
In the American League.
Two games out of first place in the Central.
Playing for the one seed, brother. Let's go.
Sitting in sole possession with the Minnesota Twins for the second place in the AL Central and have a 4.5 game lead over the Boston Red Sox, who sit in the out of bounds. Shout out to those people that remember that show. Spot in the wild card spot. Self-love. But no, last night was another one of those nights.
You gotta
where
give it to yourself. Ain't nobody else giving you that love,
there
Dust Man.
Now there's a lot of love in the world.
Dust Man.
Dustin. But last night was interesting because you and I with Alex Cole went on with Carrington before the first pitch. of last night's game against the Angels. And one of the big
questions. Carrington's back out at the ballpark tonight. Did you know really? That? In front of Gate D again. Go see Carrington. He won't have us around tonight.
I've never seen a man drink more water in my life than yesterday.
He must have drank those huge water bottles. Like 33-ounce bottles of water. I think he had at least three.
When we were there.
Yeah. Yeah. And he never went to the bathroom.
Didn't pee once.
Must not be a beer drinker. I've never seen anything like that before. Like, he was slamming these bottle and never moved and just sat there the entire time. I'm like, I don't know, maybe it's my age now at 47. I have like a glass of water. I'm like, gotta use the bathroom. Yeah. Gotta pee.
Bob and I are always kind of in the same rotation. He'll go in, I'll come out, I'll go in, he'll come out. It's just like we just water chuggers and coffee drinkers. So it's like a double-edged blade, like right there. It's like, here's your coffee, here's your water, here's Seth Lugo, here's Cole Reagans. See what I did there?
They did.
Cole Reagans tonight, Seth Lugo last night. Everybody was looking at Seth Lugo to kind of lean on that. Can he be that guy? Got all the way to, like, what, the seventh inning?
Top of the seventh. Seven innings, yeah. I feel like he pitched for seven, yeah.
Got an out, and then all of a sudden a couple of hits. But anyways, Royals win last night. Seth Lugo was great. And tonight they carry on into this series where they should win all three. If you win tonight, you definitely have to sweep on Wednesday. Ron Washington and that team look like they're just ready to get out of town and go do their offseason stuff.
I love Ron Washington. Like, he's very entertaining. That whoever was playing center fielder last night for Anaheim, that son of a gun quit on that fly ball into the outfield. I've never seen an outfielder just give up and turn around and watch a ball hit the warning track before. Right. Like, that shows you in a nutshell, in my opinion, where the Anaheim Angels are as an organization. Like, if I'm the owner of that organization and I see whoever that guy is, Moniak, never heard of that guy before. Mickey Moniak, the center fielder last night for Anaheim, if I'm the owner of that team and I watch that guy give that kind of effort, I would cut him immediately. I mean, that was a Bush League type of effort that guy gave. Shows you where Anaheim is at this point in the season, right? They have basically just given up. Go in there and bash their teeth in over these next 2 days and take care of business.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that's interesting, too, is you mentioned this. It wasn't a Bobby Witt Jr. night.
Not at all.
Yeah. I mean, he had an infield single down the third base side, but not saying it's a bad thing. It's actually a better thing to see that because Salvador Perez had the big night and Paul DeJong had those two guys had the big night. Raise your hand if you had Paul DeJong being a poor man's Ben Zobrist moving into the playoffs, right? Like, here comes this guy off the bench, doesn't have to play every day, belted a home run, had a double as well. And when you watch these sort of nights develop, it's nice to see that against a team like the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, you can have Bobby Witt Jr. go 1-for-4, just play good defense, have a base hit, keep your average to where it's at. I think it's still at like 349 on August 20th. And then when you play the Phillies and the Yankees, then it's like, all right, Bobby, step up. We'll get somebody else behind you. You can take this series off a little bit, as opposed to the past where like everything's just been magma hot, to take a line from Scott Boras. But last night was interesting.
That
because
was about as misused line as I've ever heard. You know?
Hot as magma.
Magma hot lava in the Padres. Third place.
Yeah, I know. And the thing that's great about this series is that it's their fifth win in a row, coming off of a sweep, playing against a team that you were way more superior than. And now it's time to lock this team up, throw them out, get ready for Philadelphia, get that off day on Thursday. So if they get to the point where they win, what, seven in a row, bringing in the Philadelphia Phillies to town, you get to play them in Kauffman, where your record is pretty damn good at home, and you bring in Bryce Harper,
Kyle Schwarber. Now, they're really good on the road, too. The Royals are playing .500 on the road right now, and that's impressive.
What do they tell you is the recipe for success? Two out of three at home, .500 on the road.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing, and the Phillies will come to town Friday, Saturday, Sunday, not looking ahead of them, but tonight you get Cole Reagans, and the reason why this pitching staff is so great is because guys like Seth Lugo got it last offseason.
Well, I saw their infield, really, as a pitcher. You know, you got Bobby and you got Vinny. I knew a little bit about Mike Hale, but I didn't realize he was as good as he is. You know, I know the stadium's awesome. It's a big park, great for pitchers. But, you know, I thought they put up really professional bats against me last year. You know, we saw the record coming in, and you know, they didn't play like it, and I knew they were going in the right direction.
Yeah, the big ballpark, they're utilizing it now with pitching out there, and that's what's important. I mean, for all these years, you know, you got to have pitching. You got to win with pitching. And look, the Royals haven't lost in a week, right? They haven't lost since last Tuesday. And they're playing good baseball. And to the Bobby Witt comment, you know, I like them winning games without Bobby Witt producing, because you're going to need that in the postseason. Like, you can't rely on Bobby Witt. You can't rely on Aaron Judge. You can't rely on one guy to carry you in the postseason. It just doesn't work that way in baseball. You have to have more folks involved. And if you can win a game like they did last night and Bobby Witt really wasn't involved in that game, then that's a good thing, because it shows that other guys can step up. You can win a game with Salvi. You can win a game with Vinny. You can win a game with Massey. You can win a game with Lugo. Like, it doesn't have to be Bobby Witt all the time that leads you to victory. And I think when you start to focus on what's going to happen when this team is in the postseason, they're going to do everything in their power, whoever they're playing against, to take out Bobby Witt, to make him not part of the equation. And if you can start to win games where Bobby isn't the catalyst for these things, that's a scary thing for the rest of Major League Baseball, because if Bobby is the only guy that's carrying the ball club, well, then you can just walk Bobby, you can pitch around Bobby, you can not let him do damage. But if everybody else in that lineup is producing and doing some good things, then by God, man, who are you going to pitch around? If DeYoung's doing his thing, or Salvi or Vinny and all these guys, all of a sudden there's nobody to really pitch around in that lineup. They're getting stronger as we head down this stretch. And again, you're feasting on the low-hanging fruit of Major League Baseball right now.
Shouldn't you be?
But you should be. You got to take care of that business, because if you don't win these games against these schlubs, then it doesn't matter what you do, you know, in the games against the Phillies and Guardians coming up in a
while. Fons and owns. And you never know. Darren Blanco is a good little piece that, you know, Vern really made a great point yesterday, whereas, yeah, everybody might want to see this guy play every day, but maybe Matt Cotrero really has figured out how to use him in certain matchups. Plus, if he could just use
in that yellow crayon bat
every time he hits.
Still trying to figure out what that
was. I did not know that clip was going to take off like it did yesterday. I had four different people, my stepmother included, going, I can't believe people still say crayon. And then my dad comes over to throw in the backyard last night.
I never knew people said crayon.
My dad comes over last night to throw a couple practice toss around the backyard, and my buddy's over there, and he's sitting there, and he goes, yeah, I just don't understand how people say crayon. And I was like, it's crayon. He's like, yeah, I don't understand why people say crayon. And I was like, I don't know. And then my buddy's like, well, some people say crown, some people say crayon, some people say crayon, you know, Crayola. You never know. But again, bringing this thing full circle and wrapping up this conversation of what the Royals have shown and done, it is insanely crazy to me that at the start of this season, I said, let's just enjoy this ride. Let's pretend it's a cruise. It goes until it's over, but you have fun during the whole time. Those expectations are done. This cruise ship that I have been on this entire season is now starting to approach extended time, because everyone has gotten the extra bonus hours because you've outdone what you originally thought you were going to do. And as of August 20th, we're not just talking about a wild card. We're not talking about being competitive. We're not just talking about, you know, sticking around, winning your division. You're talking about getting a first-round bye and being the number one overall seed. And if that happens, there is no doubt in my mind that Bobby Witt Jr. should be the MVP and that Matt Cotrero should be the manager of the year.
Well, I also think if you don't make the playoffs now, it is a major disappointment
now
on this season. You have a 4.5-game lead over that last wild card spot. I don't want to say anything's guaranteed, because nothing is guaranteed, as we know. But if they don't make the playoffs right now, it will be looked at as an epic collapse. And I think as you're starting to kind of, you know, budget for the fall and what you're going to do with your money, you may want to squirrel away a couple of bucks to buy some, you know, postseason tickets. And, you know, hopefully the Royals get a home game, because even if they make the wild card round and they're the last wild card, you don't get a home game in that unless you win in advance to the next round. So hopefully there are some home games that, you know, you can start squirreling away your money for, because I know how people spend their money. It's already gone. But if you're thinking about October and you're saying, all right, let me put a couple of bucks away here and a couple of bucks away there to try to get myself a ticket to the playoff game, I think that's a wise investment right now, because if this team doesn't go to the playoffs, it will be looked at as an epic collapse.
Fesco in the morning, not anymore. Fesco and Dusty here on 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology, is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Well, Bob's got some horseradish on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5, The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.